You know, it's always been amazing to me down through the years how people's lives can change in just a few moments. For the past 9 days, we've watched reports from Japan, and I know I mentioned this Wednesday night, but I got to be honest with you, I'm still consumed by what I see. You know, the earthquake, the tsunami, hundreds of thousands of lives changed in just moments. Family members washed away, homes washed away, places of employment washed away. And after 9 days, there's still people that get up and ask the question, I wonder if my mom and dad are still alive. I wonder if my children are still alive, my brothers and my sisters, my grandpas and grandmas. After 9 days, they still don't know. They still get up every morning and wonder, well, I wonder if I'm going to have enough to eat today. I wonder if I'm going to have a place to sleep tonight. They still face the fear of radiation. And I mentioned it Wednesday night, and it's been on my heart all week, starting last Saturday, about how the dreams of many, many people in Japan were just shattered in just a few moments. The dreams of the young, the dreams of the ages, the dreams of everybody in between. As they lose family members, as they lose their homes, as they lose their places of employment, it just seems like all their dreams were just taken and put on an anvil and shattered with a big sledgehammer, and they'll never be able to put them back together again. But then I got to thinking, there's a lot of people in this room that even though they haven't suffered an earthquake or experienced a tsunami, there's a lot of people in this room this morning that live with shattered dreams. Some of you have had spouses who you had planned to spend your golden years together, and they went to heaven on you. They left before you were ready for them to go. Or your marriage has been broken by divorce. Or you're a teenager, and instead of having a mom and dad 7 days a week, you have a mom a couple days a week and then a dad a couple days a week, and you switch every other weekend. Some in this room had dreams that were shattered when a little baby died and went to heaven. Others have had dreams shattered when a teenager or an adult child preceded you in death. And it seems like, just like I mentioned a moment ago, that when those things happen, that somebody takes our dreams and just takes a big hammer and beats on them and breaks them into 1,000 pieces, and we can never put them back together again. What do you do when that happens? What do you do when your dreams are shattered? Many people, they get mad at somebody. Because usually when dreams are shattered, there's always somebody to blame. There's always another person or another group of people that you can point your fingers at and said, man, if they hadn't have done what they did, none of this would have happened. And we get mad and we get bitter at the people that are involved in the circumstances of our shattered dreams. Some people get mad at God. They say things like, man, if there was really a God, and if God really loved me, he wouldn't let things like this happen in my life. He could have stopped it if he wanted to. And they get mad at God. And many of us just want to quit. We just want to roll ourselves into that fetal position and get somewhere, and we tell God, like Elijah did, like Jeremiah did on an occasion, said, why don't you just kill me? My life has no more purpose. I have no more reason to live. Why don't you just kill me? And so this morning I want to preach a sermon entitled, When Dreams Are Shattered. When dreams are shattered, what should we do when our dreams are shattered? I'm going to go back to the book of Genesis, and I want to talk about a young man who was called a dreamer. We gave Isaiah a little movie about Joseph, and I want to talk to you about Joseph this morning. He was the 11th of 12 sons, had a sister in there, but his dad's name was Jacob, and he was a young man that had some unique dreams. We read about one of them in the Bible verses that we read this morning. He and his brothers were represented by sheaves of grain, and they were out in the field, and his stood up, and all his 11, the 11 sheaves that represented his brother bowed down to him. Another time, he and his brothers were represented by stars. He had a star, and his 11 brothers had a star. The sun was there representing his father. The moon was there representing his mother. And in that dream, the sun, moon, and the 11 other stars bow down to his star. And even though Joseph did not know what it meant, I'm sure he had a thought, one day, I don't know why, I don't know how, but one day my brothers and my mom and my dad, they're going to bow down to me. And then his life took some unexpected turns. You might say his world was shaken. You might say he was hit by a tsunami. His dreams were shattered. He was sold by his brothers as a slave for 20 pieces of silver. He was carried by strangers to a land far away from his home. He was sold as a slave to a man named Potiphar. And the Bible says that when he went into Potiphar's house, he worked hard. And God was with him. And because Potiphar saw that everything that he did was blessed by God, Potiphar set him over the head of his house. I mean, he made him ruler over his house. And the only person that was higher than him was Potiphar himself. And so, even though he was sold as a slave, he ended up in this situation where he was running this household in Egypt. And then something else happened. Potiphar's wife told a lie about him. And Potiphar got so mad that he threw him into prison. And so here's a young man, a dreamer, who didn't understand the dreams that God sent him, but thought one day that he would be in a place of prominence that where even his brothers would bow down to him. Now he's been sold as a slave. He rose to a position of leadership in a household, and now he was lied about, and now he's in jail. When he went into jail, the Bible says that God was with him, and he worked hard. And the jailer saw that God was with him and God blessed what he did. And the jailer decided, I'm going to put him in charge of the prison. Even though he's a prisoner, I'm going to make him in charge of all the other prisoners. And because he was in charge of all the other prisoners, one day he came into contact with a couple of prisoners that used to be servants to Pharaoh. The butler and the baker. The butler was the wine taster before it went to Pharaoh. The baker was the one that baked goods for Pharaoh. And then Pharaoh got upset with them and threw them both in jail. And because Joseph was in charge, he was the one that served them. And he came in one morning, they both had a dream. And they said, we've had a dream, but we don't know what it means. And Joseph said, well, the interpretation of dreams belong to God. Tell me what you've dreamed and maybe I can tell you what they mean. And the butler and the baker told Joseph their dreams, and Joseph interpreted those dreams, and what Joseph says those dreams meant exactly happened. The baker was hanged, and the birds ate the flesh off his head. The butler was restored to his position, and when he went back, when he was leaving the prison, Joseph said to him, hey, I'm here because of nothing I did. When you are free, when you are restored your position before Pharaoh, would you say a good word for me because I am unjustly in prison? And the butler promised Joseph, yes, when I am restored to my position, when I stand again before Pharaoh, I'll say a good word for you. I'll tell him that you were here, that you're here unjustly, and see if I can help you. But 2 years passes. 2 years passes, and the butler forgets his promise to Joseph. 2 years pass, and he's still in prison. It would have been easy for Joseph to get mad and be bitter at other people. It would have been easy for him to get mad and be bitter against the 11 brothers that sold him into slavery. It would have been easy for Joseph to get mad and get bitter against Potiphar's wife. It would have been easy for Joseph to get mad at the butler and say, hey, you promised me that you would mention me before Pharaoh. It's been 2 years and nothing happened. It would have been easy for him to get mad and hold bitterness in his heart toward other people. It would have been easy for Joseph to get mad at God. It would have been easy for him to say, like some of us do sometimes, God must not be real. If God was really real and if God really loved me, he would have not let any of this stuff happen in my life. He could have stopped my brothers from selling me into slavery. He could have stopped Potiphar's wife from telling lies about me. He could have reminded the butler to keep his promise and talk to Pharaoh about me. If God was really real and if God really loved me, he would have stopped all this stuff. He wouldn't let none of it come into my life. It would have been easy for Joseph to get mad at God. And it would have been easy for Joseph just to say, I quit. God, why don't you just kill me? My life has no purpose. I'm stuck here in prison. I've been betrayed by people that love me, by people that I've just come in contact with. My life is worthless. Why don't you just take it from me? But you go back and you read the rest of the book of Genesis. You read the story of Joseph. You'll read where he forgave those other peoples that did him wrong. He forgave his brother. He forgave Potiphar's wife. He forgave the butler. You go back and you read his story. There's not one indication at all that Joseph ever got mad at God. There's not one indication at all where he said, God, you must not be real. If you really love me, you wouldn't let this happen. No, time after time after time in the story of Joseph, we read the phrase, and God was with Joseph. Even in the time of trial and heartache and heartbreak, when his dreams were shattered, Joseph didn't get mad at God. And he didn't quit. He did not quit. Every situation that God put him into, every heartache and every trial and every time his dreams were shattered, Joseph just kept on going. So this morning, real quickly, three things that he did that we should do those times in our life when our dreams are shattered. Number one, when his dreams were shattered, Joseph just kept doing what he was supposed to do. At home, he was an obedient child that pleased his father. When he became a slave, he was an obedient slave that tried to please his master. When he became a prisoner, he became an obedient prisoner, one that pleased his jailer. And when our dreams are shattered, God expects us to keep on doing what we're supposed to do. He expects us to continue to be obedient children and just keep doing what he's told us to do, pleasing our Father. He expects us, when our dreams are shattered, to stay in this book. Isn't it funny how most people, when hardship comes, they begin to ignore this book, the very thing that will help them? Isn't it funny when people's dreams are shattered that they quit praying? Isn't it funny when dreams are shattered, they quit coming to God's house and they quit fellowshipping with God's people? The very things that they need. When dreams are shattered, the very things that God has put in our life for times like that are the things that we turn away from. We turn away from his word. We turn away from prayer. We turn away from the church. But I want to tell you, nowhere in the Bible did I find that heartbreak or heartache is an excuse for disobedience. Nowhere in the Bible do I find that circumstances gives us a permission slip to not be obedient to our God and our Savior. When our dreams are shattered, he expects us, just like Joseph, to keep doing what we're supposed to do. Number two, when Joseph's dreams were shattered, he trusted that God knew what he was doing. You see, Joseph was a child of God. He couldn't understand why God allowed him to be sold as a slave, be carried into Egypt. He couldn't explain why God would have allow Potiphar's wife to tell a lie about him and him be thrown into prison. He couldn't explain why the jail or the butler would forget him for 2 years. And yet, in all those situations, Joseph knew as a reality in his heart and a reality in his mind and a reality in his being, he knew as a child of God that God doesn't allow anything, good or bad, to come into our lives without a purpose, without a reason. So Joseph knew that it wasn't an accident. It was something that just happened that he was sold as a slave. It wasn't an accident, just something that happened that Potiphar's wife told a lie about him. It just wasn't an accident, something that happened that the butler forgot to mention him before Pharaoh. All those things were part of God's plan. And even though Joseph could not explain them, even though he could not understand them, he believed as a reality in his life that God had a plan for him. I believe this morning, I hope you do too, that God hadn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God has a plan for each of our lives, and nothing comes in, good or bad, unless God allows it. Now, we don't know why. I've stood beside many people in this room in different situations, and tears have flowed down our cheeks. And you've asked me the question, why, preacher? Why would God allow something like this to happen? And on every one of those occasions, I've been forced to answer, I have no idea. I do not know why God would allow this to happen. I've stood in funeral homes. I've stood in jails. I've stood in hospitals. I've stood up here. And you've asked me the question, why? 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 And I've been unable to answer that question. I don't understand God. I can't explain why he allows certain things to happen, but I do know this. He has a plan. He has a plan. And what he wants us to do is trust him that he knows what he's doing. And then number three, Joseph knew that somebody else's future depended on him trusting God and continuing to do what he was supposed to do. You go back and you read the last couple chapters of Genesis. It's after Jacob dies and his brothers are left with him, and they're worried. They think Joseph is mad at him. He's just waiting for dad to die, and then he's going to take his revenge out on his brothers. And Joseph, as they come to him with a lie, saying, hey, before dad died, he told you to forgive us. They come to him and they deliver that message. And Joseph, he said something like this. He said, am I in God's place? Am I in God's place? Look, I understand that you didn't do this to me. You didn't sell me as a slave. God did. You didn't throw me into prison. God did. Hey, Mr. Butler, you didn't forget me on purpose. God was all in all of that. And he was in it to get me ready, to put me in a position to where I could save his people. I could save my family, the people of God. God let all that come into my life to prepare me to get to the point where I could be a blessing to somebody else. I could be a blessing to God's people. And I submit to you this morning that every time in your life that you've had a dream that was put on the anvil and somebody hit it with a hammer and broke it into 1,000 pieces, that God was preparing you to be a blessing to somebody else. He was getting you ready. He was preparing your heart. He was preparing your mind. He was preparing your spirit for you to be a blessing to somebody else. Now, in order to be that blessing, you had to trust him. You couldn't understand it. You couldn't explain it. But you had to trust him that he knew what he was doing. And you had to keep doing what he wanted you to do. You couldn't quit. You couldn't drop out. You couldn't fall out of the race. You need just to keep doing what he wanted you to do so that you could be a blessing to to somebody else. I was thinking last night, I've reached a point in my life where I don't have any more dreams. There's not any place I want to go. There's not any material possession that I dream about having. There's not anything that I dream about achieving. I'll just be honest with you. I don't have dreams like that. I used to when I was younger. But I'll be honest with you. I don't have any of those dreams this morning. But I have a desire. I have a desire to be a blessing to other people. I want to be able to stand as long as I can stand upright and tell people that they're sinners and that Jesus Christ, like Kelly sang a moment ago, when he went to the cross, he took all of our sin upon himself and he died in our place. He died in our place. He paid the price for my sin. He paid the price for your sin. I hope God lets me, for many years to come, be able to stand in a place like this or someplace else and tell people, yes, you're sinners, and there's a penalty for that sin, but Jesus died to pay the price. And if you trust him, he'll save you. If you trust him, he'll keep you out of hell. If you trust him, he'll give you a home in heaven forever and ever and ever and ever. And all I have to do is trust him. There's no price that you got to pay. There's nothing that you got to live up to. There's no minimal requirements that you have to meet. Everything was paid for on Calvary's cross. All you have to do is come and receive it. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, he loves you. And the plan for your life, the first step in that plan, is for you to come and ask Jesus to be your Savior. And if you ask him, he'll save you. He'll save you. I have that desire. I have a desire to help Christians get closer to their Savior. I have a desire for you to know him better. I have a desire for you to be more like him. And I hope God lets me have opportunity to continue to take the Word of God, the Bible, and tell you more about Jesus. Tell you more about how to live your life in a way that's pleasing to him, that would make you more like him. I have a desire that in some way I can be a blessing to others, to maybe smooth out their way along life's road, and maybe some way make their burden a little bit lighter by reminding them that we never walk alone, that God is always with us. He never leaves us or forsakes us. That's my desire. I don't have any more dreams, but I have that desire. Now this morning, every single one of us can probably look back at a time in our life. Maybe we're going through it right now where it seems like all the dreams that we had, somebody put on an anvil and they took a great big hammer and they broke them. And we'll never be able to put them back together. But I'll submit to you this morning that if you're going through that, God's getting you ready to be a blessing to somebody else. He'll help you get through it. He'll give you what you need to get through it. We don't go through it alone. He just wants us to keep trusting him. He knows what he's doing. He's got a plan. Just keep doing what you're supposed to do. And he'll put you in that position where you can be a blessing to others. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it tells us stories of men, true stories of men like Joseph, that we can order our life after. And I pray, Father, for the many Christians that are here. I pray for the, Father, that as sometimes things come into our life that we can't understand or explain why you would let come into our life. But, Father, they come. And I just pray, Father, that we would trust you. that we would know that you have a plan and that you just help us to keep doing what we're supposed to do so that we can be a blessing to others. Father, I pray if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, they would understand that they're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. But Jesus paid it. Paid it in full. And if they'd come this morning and ask him, he would save them. Man, woman, teenager, doesn't matter who they are. Doesn't matter what they've done. If they just come and trust Christ, he would save them. Father, I pray you'd help them do that. Each one that doesn't know Jesus, I pray today would be the day they come and ask Jesus to save them. Bless this time of invitation. If there's other things that we should do, if there's people here that need to come for baptism or church membership, I pray, Father, that you would direct them and they would be obedient. Do what you tell them to do. Bless this time of invitation, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.